place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Today I went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind a door. And I said, son, never fear, you got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Wonderful, glory to God. Well, I'm telling you, Christ makes all the difference in the world. You know, as for a saved person, Christ is all I need. If I can just get a hold of His will for my life and obey His will for my life, and you obey God's will for your life, and then we look at what God's trying to do through this church and through many, many other local churches in our area. You know what, just focusing in on our relationship with God. Well, today, all day long, through our Sunday school, our church services, all the way through the concluding service tonight, we've entitled this day, October the 31st, as Beat the Devil Sunday. So I just thought if we're going to have the theme of Beat the Devil, then I just figured we're just going to beat the devil. All right? So this morning and this evening, I hope that you'll be back this evening because we're going to beat the devil again this evening. And folks, you know what? We're not to be ignorant. You know, in Scripture, outside of God the Father and God the Holy Ghost and God the Son, that the most prominent spiritual figure in the Bible is Lucifer. We might need to know something about that. Because he is our enemy. He is indicated in Scripture. He is your adversary this morning. And I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and I'm just going to preach to you this morning on Beat the Devil. Now, folks, we're not talking about knuckle sandwich, Beat the Devil. All right? We're going to find out from the Bible how we can beat the devil. Now, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, find your place in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to read several passages of Scripture in several different books of the Bible. James 4, Ephesians 4, Matthew 4. That's easy. 4:4:4. Thank God it's not 666, right? James 4, Ephesians 4, Matthew 4. All right, if you found your place, would you stand with me, please? James 4. Verse number 7, the Scripture reads, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, I want you to notice the next statement. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now let me say that again. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Folks, that's a promise. That's a promise from God. He said, if you'll do some submitting to God and resisting of the devil, he will flee. Now the thing about it is, one of the problems is there's not much submitting going on these days, and certainly not much resisting going on. But he says, through that combination right there, he will flee from you. All right, Ephesians 4, verse number 27. Ephesians 4, verse number 27. One statement here Paul makes again to the church at Ephesus. He says this: neither give place to the devil. Don't let him have any advantages. Don't even think for one second that he is your friend or that he's doing you any favors whatsoever. He says, neither give place to the devil. May I say, don't even listen to anything that he has to say. You know what you can do, like most people do? Just give him the hand, right? You don't even have to listen to him. He says, but I don't want to hear anything about it. I don't have any reason whatsoever to listen to anything that Satan has to say to me, about me, or if he tries to work through us. All right, so the Scripture says now that we're to submit ourselves unto the Lord and we're to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And then Ephesians 4 says, neither give place to the devil. All right, now go to Matthew chapter 4, if you would please. I want to preach to you about beat the devil. And I think probably the most logical place to go in Scripture, might as well just go to the Bible and find out how Jesus did it, right? Then was Jesus, verse 1, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, that was obvious enough for him because he went on to the next thing. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Now here we have, here's the old devil. He's going to try to be a wise guy and quote Scripture himself. But can I say to you, he never quotes it right. He always has to infiltrate some of his own doctrine and philosophy in with that. And you listen to me, that's the reason that he's trying to confuse the Word of God among the people of God to the church of God. Always, always trying to infiltrate doctrine, trying to infiltrate something into the Word. Now let's see how Jesus answered him. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, he didn't give up after that. And may I say to you, he don't give up in your life after twice either. Or three times. Or four times. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. Are you thinking about what's being said here? Satan is saying, all these things I'll give you, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, as though He owned them, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Isn't it great to know that Scripture is consistent? Resist the devil, and he will flee. Jesus resisted, and what happened? The Bible says, and the devil leaveth him. he practiced exactly what he was going to communicate to us. Now, folks, listen to me. If you've got any idea that you're going to beat the devil through physical force or flesh and blood, you've got another thing coming because you're no match. The Bible says you are made a little lower than the angels. That means we're the low man on the totem pole, my friend. Of all of God's creation, about the only thing lower than we are is animal and plant life. That ain't much to write home about right there, right? We're just a little above that. That means we're low man. That means you don't have any chance at fighting the devil with your words, your fists, or your anger. You hear me? Or your anger. You can get angry, you can get mad all you want. Everybody, that's not fighting the devil. That's not beating the devil. How are we going to beat him? It is possible, according to Scripture, to beat him by the example that Jesus set forth in Scripture. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Father, bless us, please. We're grateful to have the opportunity to come to church. Use this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Most of us that went to public school always in high school had an arch rival school. And when I was in school, it did me great joy to be able to beat the arch rival school at something. Didn't matter what it was. Hey, listen, I didn't care if it was marbles or tiddlywinks. Just as long as you could beat the arch rival school so that you could have bragging rights. You know, everybody was pumped up about those types of things in that day, and because you just wanted to beat them at something. My wife and I attended Forest Hill High School in Jackson, Mississippi, and we had an arch rival school. It was only about 10 miles from us. It was called Clinton. There's a little town called Clinton about 10 miles from us, and they were the Clinton Arrows. Now, you can let your imagination run to get some idea of kind of what we did with the Arrows, because they were our arch rivals. You see, our two schools were only just a small distance apart, but yet the rivalry between our schools became very vicious at times. It would get so bad sometimes that each one of the schools would go over to the other school's buildings and they would spray paint the walls. He said, "Oh, preacher, were you part of that?" This is my story. I'm telling it from a general perspective. All right? That was in my unsaved days. Amen? It's all, remember now, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's in the past. But listen, it got so bad that they would come over and spray paint the buildings or vandalize the buildings. So, of course, you know, being the spiritual people that we were, we kind of took on that Samson philosophy. All right, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And so what happened, we'd go back and forth and back and forth, and this would normally take place weeks and weeks prior to that Friday night game, because we knew when the game was, it was usually the last game of the year. And so all this stuff would go on weeks and weeks. I mean, people would drive through the neighborhoods in our part of town from Clinton and have signs and stick signs up in your front yard and honk in the middle of the night and just go through your neighborhood just causing havoc. Why? Adversary. The arch rival school. See, this type of rivalry that's displayed here would go on week after week and week. And may I say to you that it would intensify the closer game day got. And it would intensify, and it would get more public, and it would get more vicious as game day got closer. Now, may I say to you today that all this ridiculous jousting between the schools was only an outward display of what the real desire and goal was, and that was to beat them at or on that night at that particular game. That was our goal. We wanted to win. Hey, when you have an arch rival, it didn't matter what your record was. It didn't matter if you were 0-9 going into, I just want to beat them. Right? Didn't matter what your record was. You just wanted to have the bragging rights. No greater satisfaction did we get than to go home with the joy of beating the school that was our arch rival. Like I said, it didn't matter what our record was as long as we had the bragging rights. Now, may I make an application this morning to you? We the creation of God. The greatest of all His creations. Can I say to you this morning, you and I have an arch rival. And what He's been doing in your life is the same thing He's been doing in my life. He's been vandalizing our lives for a long, long time. And may I say that it will intensify. His efforts will intensify the closer we get to game day. It's going to become worse. He's going to intensify His attacks in your life and my life the closer we get to game day. He says, when's game day? When the eastern sky splits open and we hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God sound. Can I tell you, it's game day, my friend. And the closer we get to that day, the more He's going to get intense against the people of God and against the church of the living God. Now, several things that we knew about our arch rival. First of all, we knew who they were. Folks, can I throw in a commercial here just a second? The people that are sitting next to you, they are not your enemy. They are not your arch rival. You have one and but only one arch rival and enemy as a child of God, and it's the devil himself. He's your enemy. You see, the thing about it is when we knew somebody came over and spray painted the building, and one of the things too that we used to do too is we'd go into the neighborhoods and we'd paint the streets with our school mascot or something. I mean, just cause havoc. You say, oh, was it fun? Well, it's fun if you didn't get caught. Now, what I'm saying to you is we knew who our arch rival was. It's not, hey folks, this morning, it's not each other. We've got one. It's Satan himself. So what we have to do is we have to focus on who the enemy is and not get sidetracked. Hey, can I tell you that weeks prior to the game that we knew that when someone came over and spray painted something on our building or did something, we knew that it wasn't another school. We knew who it was because game day was coming. We knew who the arch rival was. These other schools, they could care less about us, and we could care less about them. But there was one school we really cared about, and that was the Clinton Arrows. And man, I'm telling you, we would do everything, and we'd have signs, and we'd have arrows, you know, broken in little pieces, and arrows, you know, just doing all kinds of things, and just trying to cause havoc. But may I say to you, we knew who the arch rival was. May I say to you, number two, we knew their basic tactics. We knew their tactics. They would come and try to intimidate us. They would use fear or humiliation or vandalization. What they would do, we knew what their tactics were. It's not that we weren't ignorant. We knew what they were. We knew how they were. And when it came, we knew who they were. We knew it. And may I say to you this morning, you know what the tactics of the devil are. You're not ignorant of those devices. You know what they are, and you know the moment that you see some vandalization in your life, you know, I don't be dog, the arch rival's been here messing in my life. Identifying who the arch rival is, and then knowing the basics of the tactics. May I say to you, number three, that we knew about the time that it would all start. We knew, Brother Hinton, about 3 or 4 weeks prior to that day, that's when it would all start. And it would go on, and then it would intensify the closer that Friday night came. It got worse. It became a lot personal. A lot of times they would come over and challenge us to fights after school. You say, oh, this is terrible. When did this happen? This must have happened in these wicked days of the 2000s. No, this happened back in the 70s. Long, long ago. Once upon a time, right? Now, what I'm saying to you is we knew about the time that it would start. Any time, listen to me, that you attempt to do something for God, to glorify God or to praise God, you need to look out. The time is at hand. You will be confronted by your adversary if you try to do something for God. Let me tell you something. Don't be afraid. Hey, don't let that scare you. All that is a tactic of the arch enemy to try to intimidate you, to try to cause you to fear, to do something or vandalize something in your life or humiliate you.
Don't let him use that against you. Anytime you try to do something for God, that kind of thing's going to happen. Hey, we knew what we had to do to counteract the attacks. You had to be aggressive, right? Hey, we didn't lay down and quit. You had to be aggressive. You say, oh, preacher, we shouldn't be attacking the devil because if we do, we're just going to make him mad. Can I say something to you? He's already mad. He said, oh, if we do that, he's going to jump my case. Can I say something to you? He's already on your case. You're not going to do anything to upset him any further unless you want to get a little more aggressive about serving God. Unless you just want to come down to the altar this morning and say, I surrender all. Then you know what? The more aggressive we get in our relationship with the Lord, the more aggressive he's going to get in our lives. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You say, oh, but preacher, I'm so afraid that he might do something in my life. Yeah, he might. But you know something? Last time I checked, you still had a God in heaven that will never leave you nor forsake you. Never! Never! Can I say to you that my daddy, my father in heaven is bigger than the devil? You ever see two kids get there and say, my daddy can beat your daddy up? I remember we used to do that as kids, you know, trying to threaten them. But may I say to you, I have a Father in heaven that's bigger. He's bigger than the devil. You see, we knew what we had to do to counteract the attacks. You have to be aggressive. Listen, come game day, we hoped to defeat them, but it wasn't going to be as easy as we thought. It was going to take work. It was going to be hard work. It was going to have to be passionate. We were going to have to do everything we could to defend our school. Now, we read in James chapter 4, verse number 7, what the key to defeating the devil is. Two things. First of all, he says, submitting therefore to the Lord, submitting therefore to God, and resisting the devil. So did you notice there that prior to resistance must come submission? Must come submission. You know, in Psalm 37, David says that we're to delight thyself in the Lord. Okay, we're to not only submit, we're to have everything about the Word of God, His church, the people of God, we're to delight ourselves in that. It's kind of like, remember when you were a kid and your parents took you to Brahms or took you to an ice cream shop and boy, you got there, boy, they got you your favorite sundae or something, and man, you thought, man, it's all over your face. You're like, man, this is good. You were delighting in that. God says, now I want you to take and do that with me in my word. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And so if there's going to be the proper type of attack, if we're going to beat the devil, the first thing we're going to have to do is there's going to have to be some submitting this morning. We're going to have to submit believers unto the power of God. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you're going to have to submit under the authority of God to come to Him and realize that you're without Christ and that you are absolutely devil's bait without Him. You see, the key to defeating the devil is submitting first and then resisting. That word resist just simply means to stand against, to oppose, to counteract, or to withstand. I don't have time to turn there, but you can look at that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Now, I want to say this before I give you these three quick things here to be done. Satan has absolutely no fear of you or me. You see, all of that vandalization, all that crazy stuff that we did prior to the game, when it come game day, I wasn't afraid of them, and they weren't afraid of us. You know what they want to do? They want to do the same thing to me that I did to them. They want to knock my block off. I want to knock their block off. Now, all I'm saying to you is, folks, he's not afraid of you, and he's certainly not afraid of me. He knows our makeup. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we're easily distracted, and we can be easily persuaded. He knows all of those things. Now, with that said, Jesus was faced here in Matthew chapter 4 with temptation, which is one of Satan's vandalizing tactics. Temptation. You see, Satan tempted Jesus with possessions, he tempted him with pride, and he tempted him with power. And you know what he'll tempt you with? He'll tempt you with possessions, he'll tempt you with pride, and he'll tempt you with power. Can I say to you, boy, you give somebody a little bit of power, you want to draw the real character of an individual out, give them a little power. Boy, that'll draw the real character of a person out, because they will decide what type of person they are when under the authority of that power given them. Boy, you want to draw the true character of somebody out, give them a little power. Let them have a little success. And here Satan tempted Jesus with these three things and in these three areas. Now, how did Jesus beat the devil? The same way that you and I can beat the devil as well. First of all, may I say to you, number one, look in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May I say to you, if you're going to beat the devil, have a plan. Have a plan. You know what we used to do when we got ready for game day? We'd spend the week practicing and developing a game plan. We had a plan. And you know what we'd do? We'd sit there and watch the film. And yes, they did film games back then, except it was on one of them big reels, you know, you put on a camera, that sort of thing. And yes, we did watch game film. And yes, we did have people that went and scouted. Yeah, we got people go out and scout. You say, who's the scouts, preacher? Well, I tell you one thing. Do you know there's a bunch of people in this church, from this preacher to the pew today, that's had quite a few confrontations with the devil? And do you know there's a lot of good senior people here this morning that's been down the road a little further than some of us that's had some confrontations with the devil? It might do us wise to be able to sit down with them and say, listen, I know you've been down the road. You're 60, 70 years old. You've scouted this out. What'd you find out? But no, you know what most of us want to do? I'm just going to go at it myself. Okay. But you know that we got a bunch of scouts that's been down the road a little bit further than we have that we need to sit down and talk to, because they've been through the battles, they've been through the wars before. I'm just simply telling you that, listen, if we're going to beat the devil, we're going to have a plan. And we knew that when we stepped on that football field on that Friday night, you know what we better have? We better have a plan. Because if we would just decide, you know what, I ain't have no plan, I'm going to do what I do, and if they don't like it, tough. Well, you know what, they're going to game plan for you, I promise you. So you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to game plan for them. You're going to have a plan. May I say to you that Jesus knew Satan's tendencies? He knew Satan's tactics. So you know what he did? He did the same thing that he had done many, many, many times before, and he just simply said, as it is written. Jesus used the power of the Word of God. You know how much power your words and my words have? None. Not when it comes to things like this. So you know what Jesus used? Jesus used the power of the Word of God to confront the devil. As it is written. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't work for me. Well, let me ask you this. Are you quoting it right? Amen. Here's what we say. Thus saith the Lord. And next thing we know, we're quoting something, not even Scripture. And think that that's going to bother the devil. No, no, no. That's not God's words. That's your words. He's not afraid of that. I'm just here to tell you, listen, if we're going to beat the devil, we're going to have a plan. Hey, folks, let me just back up here and just say this, okay? Not only do we need to have a plan, we need to have a plan to win. The last time I checked, I am on the winning side. Amen? The last time I checked in Scripture, guess who wins? We do. So you know what? We might as well just act on it right now since I already know what the conclusion is. We're on the winning side. We're in Christ. So I need to plan to win. Know that Satan will attack your weaknesses. Where had Jesus been for 40 days and 40 nights? Had he been fasting? Most of us in here have never experienced a 40-day and 40-night fast, but you know something? Fasting can certainly take the energy out of you. And after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, guess who shows up? The devil does. And tempts him with the very first thing that normally all of us coming out of a fast, What do we want to do? We want to eat. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into what? So you can. And Jesus said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, when Satan came, he didn't surprise the Lord. The Lord had a plan, and he operated that plan. Did the plan work? Yeah, it worked. It worked right to the T. You see, teams game plan for one another. You know what they do? They look at film. They do, listen, we used to have a chart to where they would actually chart a team's tendencies. What they would do on first down, what they would do on second down, how many times they'd run the ball, how many times when they roll this way. I'm telling you, it's a science now. And you know what we need to do? We need to get back to a science of understanding how to beat the devil. We need to have a plan. The reason most of us, we get gobbled up, the reason most of us, we feel defeated, is because we don't have a plan. There's no plan. So when he attacks, the first thing we do, here's what we do. Satan attacks, we think, oh, the preacher said to give him the Word of God, so here's what I'm going to do, devil, you just take this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now take that. And you know what he's going to say to that? That is a true statement. What does that have to do with the temptation? What does that have to do with what he is confronting you with? Hey folks, the thing about it is, if we're going to fight, we need to fight with the Word of God, because he ain't going to fight fair. And if we're going to fight, and he's going to tempt, and he's going to attack in an area, in my weaknesses, you know what I need to do? I need to have a plan to be able to defend myself in the areas of my weaknesses, based on the Word of God. So I'm saying to you, have a plan. Number two, have a purpose. Have a purpose. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Let me show you Jesus' purpose here. Matthew 1, quickly. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she, Mary, the mother of Jesus, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he have a purpose? Oh yeah. So when it came time to beat the devil, not only did he have a plan, there was a purpose. And that purpose was the cross of Christ. And thank God he didn't get deterred. Thank God he didn't lose focus of that. Hey folks, when are we going to have purpose? There's a purpose in life. God's got a purpose for your life. A will for your life. Don't let the devil suck the energy and life out of you. Have a purpose. Live by God's Word. Live by faith. Live by the promises of God. Hey, live to glorify God. Live to serve God with your life. Hey, have a purpose. So I just preach, I just don't have any purpose. Well, let me give you a few purposes, okay? How about your spouse? If you're here today and you're married, how about your spouse? Do they not mean anything to you? How about standing up to the devil for their sake? Because see, the thing about it, he doesn't just want you. He wants your mate as well. And may I say to you, mamas and daddies, and you need to listen to me, and listen to me well, he doesn't just want mom and daddy, he wants them kids too. And he'll do anything and everything he can to get them. He'll lie. He'll cheat. He's deceptive. He'll camouflage and try to cause them to see things from a perspective where they think things are good when they're evil. You see, he wants your testimony. He wants your joy. He wants your career. He wants your possessions. He wants to hurt you. He wants to hurt you because of who you are and who you represent. Hey, have a purpose. Does your family mean anything to you? Then stand up. So have a plan. Have a purpose. And then may I say to you, hold on to the promise. And the promise is, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil. And it didn't say he might. It didn't say he'd think about it. It said he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Now listen, one of the greatest things in the Christian life is to see the devil going the opposite way that I'm going. You say, how can that happen? Well, first of all, there's got to be submitting of ourselves, therefore, to God. Submit to the fact this morning, if you're without Christ, submit to the fact that you are lost without God. Submit to the fact that, you know what, without Christ, it's an eternal separation in hell without God forever and ever and ever. Do you know that's the first step, is just submitting ourselves to the Lord and acknowledging, I'm lost. And come do something about it. And come this morning and put your faith and trust in Christ. Can I say to you, submit to the fact that God loves you. Yeah, He loves you. He loves you so much that He was willing to send His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that you, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves you. He cares for you. You see, the thing about it is most of us say, oh, God doesn't love me. You know why you think that? Because you don't love you. That's why we don't think God loves us, because we don't even love ourselves. You say, but isn't that pride? No. We listen, it's okay to before God to say, Lord, I'm thankful I'm alive. I'm thankful and I'm grateful that I'm here today and that you put me here for a purpose. Submit to the fact that God loves you. Submit to the fact that God wants to save you regardless of your past. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. You know what God wants to do? He wants to forgive all sins of the past, of the present, and all sins of the future. You see, before the cross, all my sins were in the future just like yours were. And yet He was still willing to look down through the eons of time and see your sin and still willing to pay your debt and my debt. Submit to the fact that you cannot do this yourself. You cannot save yourself. You have nothing to offer God. You cannot submit in any way, shape, form, or fashion and do this yourself. You say, okay, well then how's it going to get done? Christ has already done it. Just accept the fact that Jesus is the only way. Everything's already been done. You say, what do I got to do? Just come and receive it. Just come and accept it. You see, hold on to the promise. The promise is submitting ourselves, therefore, to God. And then He says, in James chapter 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Can I say to you this morning, believer, some of us need to come this morning and repent of our rebellious ways. Repent. Now, we don't like that word because it's convicting, isn't it? And we hear repent. What do you mean, preacher? I mean turn from the lifestyle that you're living and the way that you're living and say goodbye and turn to Jesus Christ. Repentance is turning from something to something. He wants you to turn back to Him. Hey, I'm just saying to tell you that if we're drawn out of God, He'll draw nigh to you. Repent of our rebellious ways. Hey, how about restore fellowship through confessing sin? I wonder how long it's been since some of us just got on our knees and just confessed before God what we've done, who we are, what direction we're going. Just restore fellowship and then renew our spirit toward the Lord. Hold on to the promise. Submit. Draw nigh to God. And then He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say, how am I going to resist? Well, Jesus said, as it is written. And He also told us in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if we're going to resist, you know how we're going to resist? You know how we're going to beat the devil? In Jesus' name. Now wait a minute, let me back up and say that again, because somebody, I said in Jesus' name. That's how, why? Because you and I don't have any authority. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to tap into some power, tap into some authority to get the job done. So when the devil comes after you, he comes after me. You know what I'm going to come to him in? Jesus' name. Matter of fact, what did David go to Goliath in the name of the? Why? Because he couldn't do it. Do you think him stupid stones he had was going to get the job done? No, not by himself. He was going to have the Lord involved. And when the Lord was involved, he took that stone and threw it, and God said, I'll take that. Went straight over there, took that giant, popped him right in the head with it, down he went. Can I tell you something? You want to beat the devil this morning? You can. In Jesus' name. Through the power of the Lord. We're going to have to resist by the Word of God. Hey, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it's a very simple statement, but Jesus, the Scripture is very evident. It tells us, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what? My Father's bigger than the devil. And my Father can beat him up. And He wants to beat him up, by the way. But we're going to have to resist through the power of prayer as well. You see, Jesus resisted in Gethsemane just prior to the cross. You know what? The devil wouldn't let him up. Wouldn't leave him alone. He tried to get him to deter from the cross even to the last moment. If you'll remember, while Jesus was on the cross, remember, people would walk by and beat their chest and wag their heads. Remember what they would tell him? Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, save thyself. Oh, by the way, and us also. Right? Wouldn't let him go. And may I say to you, my dear friend, the devil's not going to let you go either. But you can beat him. And today we've dedicated this day to beat the devil. But you know what it's going to take? The Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to come to accept Jesus Christ. Come on, because that's the only way. Unless you get Christ in you. Listen, if the eastern sky splits, the trump sounds today, and you're without Christ, it's forever without God. It's forever without God. I'm just making an appeal to you. Won't you come on over here and get on the winning side and on the winning team? Because you do have an arch rival, and he desires to hurt you. Would you bow your heads this morning, please? If you're here this morning, say, preacher, without a question, no doubt whatsoever, I know that I've been born into the family of God. If you know that, I want you to slip your hand up. You're not ashamed of it. You say, I'm testifying. I'm